title, man. It's good to be thankful. It's good to be thankful. Just had a nice Thanksgiving dinner with our family this past Thursday. In that case, it was our two daughters came over, and each one brought one of their daughters. So there's six of us. We have a grandson who's up in north of here, Pennsylvania. My wife told me where he is. And he's working for a university up there, so seems to be doing pretty well. And we have a granddaughter who with her husband was been up in Alaska, and they've decided this is a good time to move south. So takes a little bit of little cold weather to influence the mind there in a positive way. But don't forget, it's good to be thankful. Yes, it is. First Thanksgiving in this country was celebrated in 1621 by the Plymouth Colony, Plymouth, Massachusetts, not the car manufacturer. In December, after a successful harvest, some of the first settlers had just come over and didn't have a whole lot of time to do much farming and so forth, and so they were grateful for the first year and the harvest that they had. And then later on, and when George Washington was president, he proclaimed a National Day of Thanksgiving and a Constitution. In other words, formally became a country when George Washington was president. He was the first president. And then the last time anybody did anything about Thanksgiving was when Abraham Lincoln was president. That was in 1863, in the middle of the Civil War. He set aside a special day, the fourth Thursday of the month, fourth Thursday of November, as the Day of Thanksgiving, National Day of Thanksgiving. And so it is that to this day. Some of them didn't have a whole lot to be thankful for. Pilgrims came over, they were grateful to be able to get away from what they saw as oppression in Europe. And then when Washington was president, he was thankful that they could get a new country started over here. And then when Abraham Lincoln was president, even in the midst of a civil war, which was tearing the nation apart, he noted that no other convened for either side, really, and trying to take over the country themselves. It would have been a good opportunity for, let's say, Great Britain, if they wanted to. They had a good navy. Come over and fight for either the North or the South and to take over the country, but they didn't do that. So God was protecting people even then, even during that war. But we read in the Bible, and if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 3, when you read the Bible, people sometimes are grateful to God for the things that He's given them, and sometimes not. And we're in an era right now when people are generally not. And yet we're considered the greatest or one of the greatest nations and have a great deal of material wealth. An old guy like me who's retired can have a nice car and have a house paid for and have a reasonably good income to live off of. So we can be thankful for that. I'd hate to be paying on a mortgage when I'm 78, you know. It says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. I'll start in verse 1. Know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. You can look at that two different ways, I guess. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Slandering, slanderers without despises of good. Unthankful and unloving, really. terrible, isn't it? In the last days, people are generally unthankful. We see that on the streets. We see people rioting because of war, and Israel is in a war against Hamas. Hamas is really the bad guys, as I see it. They're the one that started. But we see college-age students rioting in the streets because of that, because they think Israel is the oppressor. And they're certainly not thankful to be living here in this country, probably. Probably want a lot more from it. Even in Christ's day, and he performed many miracles, many incredible miracles. I'm going to look at one of them. Turn to Luke 17, if you will. Luke 17. Verse 12. This is one of the miracles that Jesus performed that showed that he certainly must be a great spiritual leader. As a matter of fact, he was the Son of God. Not everyone can do things like this. Luke 17, verse 12. Starting in verse 11. It happened as he went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, stood far off. Back then, if they were lepers, they were kind of ostracized from society. Nobody wanted to be around them. And they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so when he saw them, saw their plight, saw how sincere they were, and he didn't lay hands on them, didn't tell them to wash themselves or anything. He just said the word. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Pretty amazing, isn't it? And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that a miracle? People had leprosy. All it took was a few words from Jesus Christ and they were healed. And one of them, don't you think they'd be grateful? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God, glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Amazing, isn't it? Even with such a miracle as that, they didn't come back and thank Jesus Christ. Now, before Lincoln made Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November, this is what he had to say. He said, "We've grown up in power as no nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." You know, you could say that today and be right on, couldn't you? Well, God wants us to be thankful when we come before him. Turn back to Psalms 100, if you will. Psalms 100. I think we are grateful to be here today. Psalms 100, verse 4. says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Well, we sang songs of praise to God, didn't we, before my sermon? For the Lord is good, he is everlasting. His truth endures through all generations. The Lord is good. Not very many people who are good, are they? As a matter of fact, God is good. And that's it. His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 100. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Endures to all generations. God's truth never dies. It's always the truth. A lot of people search for the truth. The truth is in the Bible. I know there are other places that have the truth too. But this is the Word of God. Inspired Word of God. Let's go to Philippians in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. This is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when we pray to God, we should do it with a thankful attitude, knowing that God hears our prayers. Now, he may not give us exactly what we're asking for. He may have something else in mind. We may even have to go through a trial or so. But we're in God's hands when we come before him. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Peace of God. That's what we need, isn't it? In this day and age, we need to have peace of mind. Peace that God can give us. Let's go to 1 Timothy from there. Just a few. 1 Timothy 4. Starting in verse 4. Now this is something that people twist. If I was in the Methodist church, which I was when I was a teenager, I might think it meant something else. It says, for every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So if we go out and shoot a skunk, we can skin it and come home and cook it and give thanks for it, and we're okay, right? Is that what it means? No. It's talking about the scriptures. It's talking about sanctify the food is in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. That's sanctified by the Word of God. That's the Word of God too, isn't it? Well, we can be thankful for the food that we have on our table. We always do, I'm sure. All of us do that. And we can be thankful for our calling. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. Think about that. Think about our calling. I grew up on a farm, 40-acre farm. Didn't do too well in college my first year, although I did eventually get a degree. But I don't know what I would have been doing if God hadn't called me. How I would have turned out. My dad died at age 66, I think it was. He smoked a lot. So I could have taken an example from him and smoked, couldn't I? I wouldn't be here today, probably. I don't know. It's hard to say. Could have stayed there on the farm and farmed 40 acres. I wouldn't be here today. Couldn't afford it. But God called me in verse 12, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And although I was formerly a blasphemer, this is what Paul says. He's admitting a persecutor, an insolent man, and I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Call Paul. He was a bad guy, man. He was a Pharisee, stuck to the letter of the law. But it was lots worse than that. He was consenting to the death of one of God's servants. Got stoned. Paul was consenting to it. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. That was Stephen, who was stoned. It didn't say that Paul stoned him, but it said he was consenting to his death. Matthew 11, 25. Let's start in verse 20. And this is Jesus speaking. He said he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because he did not repent. Just like he healed 11 who had leprosy or 10 who had leprosy, and only one thanked him. That's kind of a disappointment, I would think. In verse 21, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than you. So we got to think about that too, don't we, the day of judgment. I'll go on reading to verse 25. He said it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom the day of judgment than for you. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, as it seemed good in your sight. So God has revealed things to people that he chose, just ordinary people like you and I. We're not the great people, the movers and shakers of the world, not the great leaders, not the presidents or the generals or things like that. We're just ordinary people. And God has revealed it to us. So we ought to be thankful for that. Let's go to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12, how should we treat one another? Colossians 3 and verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. You know, we're not perfect, for sure. Get on one another's nerves, maybe, sometimes. Make a mistake. So we ought to forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. So that's something we need to remember, isn't it? Christ forgave us for our sins. So it's the least we can do is forgive somebody else for something they did, which is minor probably. Said, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. The Bible mentions a lot about being thankful. Now, there's an example of Joseph in Genesis 50. Genesis 50, I don't know if I'm going to read too much about it, but anyway, Joseph wasn't the last of Jacob's sons, but he was next to last. And Jacob loved him a lot, gave him even a coat of many colors. I'm sure that Joseph was proud of that. But his brothers thought that his father was being too nice to him and not as nice as he should be to them, perhaps. They were jealous. So they sold him into slavery into Egypt. And you'd think that he'd be a slave in Egypt, wouldn't you? But God gave him favor in the eyes of Pharaoh. Imagine that. So he rose up in the ranks, and he was one of the top leaders in the nation of Egypt at that time. Let's go to Genesis 50, verse 15. Genesis 15, verse 15. Situation is, Jacob is dead. And so they're going to mourn over him and bury him, as they should. And in verse 15, they're speaking now with Joseph. And it says in verse 15, Joseph's brothers saw that the father was dead. They said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. After all, it was pretty bad. He's a young boy, sold away from his father and his family into a hostile environment, you might say, in Egypt. Kind of tough to take. I don't think that's not happened to any of us, has it? And so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before our father died, he commanded saying, this you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. You would think that Joseph would have been bearing a little bit of a grudge, but I guess the fact that he had been raised to a pretty high position and was doing quite well was enough for him. His brothers also wept and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we're your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. That was true. But God, who was overseeing things, meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, save many people alive. So, sometimes we could find ourselves in a bad situation. And maybe God meant it for good, for some good that we don't understand yet. Joseph didn't understand it until probably he reached manhood at least. So he finally came to understand. He forgave his brothers, which was a good thing. And so God had that in mind all the time. Which brings me to the point. Thank God for trials. Thank God for trials. That's hard to do, isn't it? Man. Thank God for trials. Let's go to the book of James. James 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's right, because it's so much fun to be tried, right? So much fun to do without money. Much fun to lose your home. Much fun to lose your job, maybe. That might be a real possibility. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why is that? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience. Why do we need patience? Why do we need patience? Well, the Bible says we'll be ruling with Jesus Christ. We will be ruling with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, ruling the earth. There'll probably be some occasions where we'll need some patience, don't you think, in dealing with some people? I would imagine so. I think it would take a lot of patience to be dealing with the Hamas right now, don't you? Yeah. Take a lot of patience to deal with Russia, China, people like that. And yet, apparently we will be. Of course, we'll have Jesus Christ to be ruling, but we'll be helping. So we need to have patience. It's a character trait we need. Let's go to Isaiah 5. I'm sorry, it said Isaiah 5, Isaiah 51. Can't read my notes. Bad. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 3. What does the future hold for the United States and Israel? I think in this age, it's not going to be good, is it? Jesus Christ is going to return in time to save his people from being killed, wiped off the face of the earth. Isaiah 51 verse 3, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. What waste places? Talking about sometime in the future. He'll make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Thanksgiving. Going to celebrate Thanksgiving in God's kingdom, I guess, huh? Maybe it'll be different, a little different than we do now. A new world order is coming. While we're in Isaiah, let's go to verse 2, or chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'll start in verse 1, because this is a prophecy that God gave Isaiah. Says the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days at the mountain of the Lord's house, that's God's government, shall be established on the top of the mountains, be over all the governments of the earth. It shall be exalted above the hills, small nations. All nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. We don't hear that much these days, do we? I'd be surprised if I saw that on the news. Somebody actually saying that. He'll teach us his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's because Jesus Christ is going to be ruling the earth from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No more war. Man. We're looking forward to a time when there's no more war. Really be thankful about that. Thankful that we know that it's coming. Thankful we know that there's some hope. And that it's not all going to end just in smoke. We have the weapons to do that today. Just make it all end in smoke. Okay. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Paul had a rough life. He did. After he was consenting to Stephen to be stoned, sometime later, Paul was stoned too. I think more than once. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. First and Second Thessalonians, Second Timothy. Second Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4. This is words that he gave to Timothy, starting in verse 2. It said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I think that's largely happened. So, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Why is that? Because these are some of the last instructions he gave to Timothy. He said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was going to be martyred. I fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, your righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. That's us too, brother. Love those. So we have something to look forward to, don't we? You know, being thankful, having a thankful attitude for things that God has given us, even a thankful attitude in general, I mean, for any people, helps improve our mental and physical health, according to Mayo Clinic. Says it can improve sleep, mood, immunity. Gratitude can decrease depression, anxiety, difficulties, chronic pain, and risk of disease. And just having a grateful attitude toward what God has given us. Just having the right attitude. Well, we have much to be thankful for, even if we're in the midst of a difficult time now. We can be thankful for the physical blessings we have. Don't we? We have plenty of resources to make it to Sabbath services on time. Good enough car. Return home to probably a fairly nice home tonight. Maybe most of you have it paid for. Looking out and seeing, we were guessing the average age here, and I guess maybe around 70. But I know that some of you are not nearly that old, but you're the exception. I know myself, I'm 78, see, so. I'm living on borrowed time, probably. I think my mother died when she was in her early 70s. My father died in his 60s. But I don't smoke, as I said before. That helps. Be thankful that God called us out of the billions of people He could have called. Just thankful for people He could call. All kinds of degrees and all kinds of great minds and so forth. Maybe great abilities. But He called us. We can pray to God and He hears us. We can pray to God and He hears us. Imagine that. Can you go down to the governor's office and say, I'd like to see Sarah, you know. I think I'd like to talk to her for a while about something. She comes right out and says, okay, Barry, come on in. Oh, I've been waiting for you. Won't work, will it? Or how about President Biden? He needs a friend. Go up and see if I can see him. But we can go home and don't even have to go home. Pray to God and He hears us. Isn't that amazing? Creator of the universe. Here we are meeting and worshiping God in peace. I'll be thankful for that. That hasn't always happened down through the years. Sometimes meetings get broken into and people get taken away. But we still are able to meet God in peace. And so we're thankful for that. Thankful for each other. It's nice to have people that we can talk to about this, isn't it? I know on our way over here, the mailman soon came up to put some mail in our mailbox, and Jeannie was out there, and so he asked her why we're so dressed up. I said, well, we're going to church. And so she and him got into a conversation for a while. I just kind of watched from a safe distance, you know. But actually, it went along pretty well. You know, he was kind of impressed, I think. So we can thank God that we have peace like that. And our trials, even the trials that we have, help us grow in character. God needs that. So we can serve Him better in God's kingdom. You know, if we didn't have any character, and He put us in charge of something, we might make a lot of mistakes, and he didn't want that. So He's going to put us through some trials, test us. He tested a lot of people, didn't He? Tested Joseph. That was kind of a hard test. And he was just a young man. And we ought to thank God for His soon coming kingdom when Jesus Christ is going to rule the earth for 1,000 years. We can have a part in that. Imagine that. He's not calling Sarah Huckabee. Not calling Joe Biden. He's calling us. So, practice being thankful for our blessings. Always remember to thank God for all the good things that He's given us. It doesn't have any downside at all.